trees, and then gave it sunshine and rain and shower to a cup. He grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go green. With tears in his eyes, God looked down through time, saw him step on, rejected and mourned. Still he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life but love. God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference for me. For the cross made a difference for me.
Appreciate the introduction. But as I approach you today, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, I need your prayers. I have a peculiar feeling. In the name of Christ, I've come and with this message, I want you to give the praise and the honor and glory to God on high. A number of years ago, I was taking a little ride with a man named George Reed and his wife, Levita. Brother Vance Harris was riding in the front seat with him. I was sitting in the back seat alone. I was feeling free. Not a trouble in the world. And all at once, Brother Harris turned around. He said, "You better get some scripture ready because you're going to talk today." Oh, I said, "No. I talked last Sunday. It's your turn now." I rode along a few miles and I thought, well, now, wait a minute. I'd better look up a few scriptures. So I did. I found a little piece of paper about 4 inches square or something like that. and I wrote down some scripture on it. I studied it, and I was very impressed with it. But when we arrived at Collins, Missouri, they were having in the church in the home of Brother and Sister Leonard Surratt. And the Sunday school started. Brother Joe Yates being the pastor, he walked in. Oh, he said, now I know why I couldn't get my thoughts collected this morning. I said, yeah, Brother Vance is right here. He said, no, that's you. I said, oh, no. Yes, he said, that's so. Well, sir, they opened the service. And as he introduced me and I started to walk from the chair to the pulpit, my mind became a blank. And I nearly panicked. But as I put my Bible on the pulpit like this, I bowed my head and I said, Lord, help me. I don't think I've ever preached a sermon like it since. It's beyond even description to me. I preached the background to the Book of Mormon. And as I picked these books up and opened them up, they opened up right at the scripture. And when I finished, I said, now I don't know why I've done this, but I did it anyway. The Lord had did that whole thing. After they dismissed the service, Brother Joe Yates' daughter-in-law, maybe some of you know them, it is Wendell's wife, she walked up and she said, I know why you preached that. I said, why? We've been praying for that. So I need your prayers. Today, I would like to bring to you something in the Acts of the Apostles. I want to go to the 17th chapter. And by the way, I appreciate that song. It is beautiful. It is inspirational. But as I open up this book to the 17th chapter of the Acts, I'm going to read from the 22nd. Well, I don't know just how far. But I'll start with the 22nd verse. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, The Unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times wherein appointed and the bounds of their habitation. that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also as your own poet have said, for we are his offsprings. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened unto gold or silver. Gold or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the things of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. You know, it's a funny thing. When Christ first came on the stage of action, after his birth and growth, we find that John the Baptist appeared, and he was doing what? Preaching repentance. Preaching repentance. And when, now as that it went into apostasy, that we find this, when it was restored on in 1830, on April the 6th, did he just start out and say it's this way and that way? No, they were told to preach nothing but repentance. Why haven't we carried it through? Why haven't we carried it through? It's the failures of men, not of God. You find one of the first revelations that was given that if, I'll put it that way, if it fails, the gospel hasn't failed, it's us. It is us. We who have accepted the gospel have made the statement. We believe in God, do we? Do we actually believe God and his son, Jesus Christ? You know, it's a pitiful situation. When we go here to the here to Matthew, we find that Christ, as he took the stage of action, and beginning with the Beatitudes here, it's a peculiar thing. You know, it's peculiar how it's like playing a party games, it seems like sometimes. We start out with a certain thing, and when it winds up, it's something else. But we find here, as he started out here in the fifth chapter with the Beatitudes, we find, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. What's the matter with that? It don't read like that in the Book of Mormon, does it? That's right. But we go back up here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What's the matter with that one? In the Book of Mormon, it reads some other way. That come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's a pitiful situation how the Bible came down. You know, in our Book of Mormon here, it says on page 137, I believe it is. I'll look and see. No, it's 35. On page 35. This is the peculiar thing here. Wherefore? Well, I'll go back up a little bit. I'm going to begin up here, verse 160 on page 35. And he said, behold, it proceedeth out of the mouth of a Jew. And I, Nephi, beheld it. And he said unto me, the book that thou beholdest is the record of the Jews which contain the covenants of the Lord which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And it containeth many of the prophecies of the holy prophets. And it is a record like unto the engravings which are on the plates of brass. I want you to get that too. Which are on the plates of brass. Let's see here. Save they are not so many, nevertheless they contain the covenants of the Lord which he hath made unto the house of Israel. Wherefore they are of great worth unto the Gentiles. And the angel of the Lord said unto me, thou hast beheld that the book proceedeth forth from the mouth of a Jew. And when it proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew, it contained the plainness of the gospel of the Lord, whom the 12 apostles bear record. And they bear record according to the truth which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore, these things go forth from the Jews in purity. What? In purity unto the Gentiles according to the truth which is in God. And after they go forth from the hands of the 12 apostles, the Lamb from the Jews unto the Gentiles, thou seest the great a foundation of a great and abominable church which is most abominable above all other churches. For behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and most precious, and also many covenants of the Lord have they taken away. You know, we find that after we received the Book of Mormon something, didn't we? We found that the Indians had rejected it also, as well as the Jew back yonder when they came over here. And that record which they obtained on the plates of brass, the four sons of Lehi, they brought the plates of brass over here. I want to take you now to the 14th chapter of 2 Esdras. And you will find something there where the Lord said to Ezra, go and reprove the people. What? What? Go and reprove the people. He said, I will, Lord, but the law is burnt. Came over here. They rejected Christ, and that's the reason things happened that way. Now the Lord's trying to rejuvenate the people over there. And it plainly states that He said, I will, Lord. I'll go and reprove the people. You can go find it. It's in black and white. But the law is burnt. And he says this. You can give me that record and I can... He said, what will the people do hereafter and in the latter days that they might live? Yes. You can give me the inspiration and I can write it. He said, tell the people not to seek thee for 40 days. And he told him what to prepare. And in 40 days they wrote 204 books. And right at the last of that chapter, it tells you this. He told him to give them the first, but to keep back the 70 last, and tells why they weren't able to receive it. Now we are facing something. Yeah, you'll find this also in the ecclesiastical history of Eusebius. I have it. Now we're facing something. We are living in a day. Is the Lord going to take it away from us? For we find in the 7th chapter of 3rd Nephi. Here in the 7th chapter, we find something here. Here a while back there was something about... In the reorganized church, that they were going to do away with the Book of Mormon. But we find now the reason that Lehi came over here was because the Jews had rejected Christ. And that's the reason the law came here. Then after it came here, you can see what's happened over here with the Indian. Are we going to do the same thing? And in this 7th chapter here, we find a lot of reading here on page 646, 645. And out of that, it brings something like this. It tells about what's going to happen to them. Be heady and high-minded. We're better than thou. And some of the things that they will do. But here on page 646, starting with 34. And thus commandeth the Father that I should say unto you at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel and shall reject the fullness of my gospel and shall be lifted up in pride of their hearts above all nations and above all people of the whole earth and shall be filled with all manner of lyings and deceivings and of mischiefs and all manner of hypocrisy and murders and priestcrafts and whoredoms and secret abominations. And if they shall do all these things and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of the gospel from among them. Yes. From among them. But there's a lot of reading to go on, a lot of reading. When we turn to the second chapter of 2 Nephi, we find in the 4th verse where Lehi said to his younger son Joseph, thy seed shall not all be destroyed. Then it goes on and tells its own story. About a choice seer But if I should turn, which was read, I believe, last night also in the third chapter of Jacob, and verse 136. We find there and it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant, and his servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your mights. With your mights. For behold, this is the last time I shall nourish my vineyard, for the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mights, with me, who's talking here? With me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. How did that read? And if ye labor with your mights, with me, ye shall have joy. Joy. In the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. And it came to pass that the servants did go and labor with their mights, and the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them, and they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. In all things. Has any of them got heady and high-minded? The restoration is full of it. We can't claim anything. Anything. Because we are the servants of the Lord. And that joy means more than all of the honor. And he must have that honor. And we must give it to him. You know, it says he's going to write something in their hearts. And what will happen? Did you know it is a wonderful thing to have a taste, just a taste of a heavenly gift? Yes, it is. To work with God. It's a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you this. When I was a small boy, I was taught a lesson. I happened to be living in a community where that they had a Zionic condition. That little town was called Pisgah, Iowa. And that pastor was one of the most wonderful old men. He felt just like I'm talking right now. And he was able, with the help of all of them, it has to be in the hearts of all, for he, I'll tell you, if you have a belief that is not according to the teachings of the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and you get tied up with the Lord under a circumstance of that time, that kind, you won't have it anymore. Because you give yourself to him. And he will write it in your mind. And give you that comfort that you never felt of before. I saw the sick healed. Just like that. And it was always given to the Lord. I saw the dead raised. Yes, I did. That was the most wonderful thing I ever heard in all or seen in all my life. And as a little boy, I never will forget the feeling that I had. This man that was raised from the dead, he had a black team. Oh, they were beauties. I was raised on a farm and they were a beauty to me as just a boy. And I want you to know that team run off with him when they went to the field. Turned the wagon box bottom side up and dragged him under that wagon. Now the doctors in that town, there was two doctors there. And this doctor's name happened to be the same as the man that had lost his life under that wagon. And as this, the neighbors caught the team, unhitched him and tipped the wagon back over on the wheels. And they took him in the house, called the doctor, and he examined. He said, "Lady, he's dead. He's dead." Of course, she was weeping. And she turned to him and said, "Do you care if I call the elders?" He said, "By all means." Yes, I knew the men that went to administer to him. And they testified that when they laid their hands on that head, that spirit was not in that body. And you know, he was there too. He had this arm in a sling. And when he bore testimony to that, he said, "I was up above, looking down." Yes, I was up above looking down. And when they laid their hands on that head in the confirmation, I went in to that body. I never will forget the statement that he made as long as I live. And he said, "I just fit." We're living beneath our privileges. We are living beneath our privileges. And we're to blame for it. Because the master here, if I should turn here to the, it'd be to the 14th chapter of John. No, I'm going to go to the 13th chapter. We find here in verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men," "know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another." Oh, I know we try awful hard, but we just don't go far enough. Because in the things that we are just ahead of us, and I say this with perfect confidence, we have a God in heaven that hears and answers prayers. He knows this heart of ours. He knows this mind. And if we will put forth just a little more, just a little more effort, we'll be the happiest people that ever lived on earth. We'll be the happiest people that ever lived on earth. because I've seen it. And the Lord is standing today, beckoning. Come closer. For he has abundance. And he's anxious to impart to his people. Yes. He's anxious to impart to his people. That inasmuch as we put forth the effort, but our efforts should be just a little more. You know, a while back, I expect it's been a month or more, I was called on the phone to come to a certain place a lady wanted to be administered to. We administered to her 5 times. She'd had 3 open heart surgeries. When I left on Monday morning, she was on her way to Paducah, Kentucky for some tests. I came home. I wept. And I prayed. In the wee hours of the morning, I was told what to do after consulting some of the elders. I did what I was told to do. I took a handkerchief, anointed it, prayed a blessing, and sent it to that lady. Two weeks later, she wrote me and told me she didn't have to go through any more surgery. Said the Lord really blessed me. Are we capable? I don't know how to say it any other way. Of being instruments in his hand to that extent, that these things, that when you're reading your histories and your scripture way back there when Christ, after Christ left, how long did it last back there? I wonder who can tell me what it says in the 6th verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Can you tell me? Without faith, it's as impossible to please him. And they must have that faith that the Lord will give them. We've got to put forth the effort. And you know, when we put forth that effort, our minds will be touched with that spirit from on high. And you and I will believe alike. We'll believe alike. There won't be any schisms in the body. And in the accomplishment of that work, I want you to know he's waiting to give it to us. It's been wonderful meeting some of the people there in the church where I've been meeting them. You know, I'm going to tell one little story about it. I run into an awful lot of antagonism. There was a dear old lady and her husband came in there, and they had their daughter with them and her family, and their son with them and his family. And they'd done everything to get me angry, and I was feeling just right that day. It was wonderful. And finally she said, "Who's going to build the temple?" "Why?" I said, "The pure in heart." "Why, sure," she said. Then we went to work and we settled down and we had one of the finest visits that anyone in the world could ever have. Put aside those differences and talk the gospel. And when they went to leave, she walked up to me and looked at me a little bit and she said, "Can I hug your neck?" That is what I like. When people will see what's going on. And when we can have the Spirit of God, I've received more letters from people like that telling me they enjoyed the Spirit that was there. But what's the matter? When you start telling the story of the Scriptures to them, as the Scriptures and what we should do, not as that we believe, see, you can say it either way you want to, but we believe, well, that's awful. When we talk the Scriptures, that's all right. That's the way we have to meet the people. It's a wonderful thing. Now, I want to ask you something. I read something. I read there in the Acts, first in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We are God's offsprings. Let us go back here to Hebrews. And I want to read right here in the beginning something. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Well, then he used his Son to make the worlds. Through him these things were taking place. And we go back to Genesis and we find something there when he created man. How did he say that? Let us make man in our image. Then we're, you see how we become the offsprings of God. Now, I'm going to take it this way. If I ask these young people here, do you love to have your parents come put their arm around you and say that they love you? Yes, sir. That's right. Well, how do you suppose he feels? How do you suppose that God feels when we come to him and we reject his embraces? Is it any wonder that he made the statement he did in the Garden of Eden? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks, and ye would not. You know, I often wonder, I look back on some of my episodes with my parents. Yes, I do. I was kind of contrary and ornery. heart and their hands squeezing it. Is the Lord saying to us, how oft would I have gathered you, but you would not? My plea is to all of us today to put forth that effort and see the results. When we come to Him, the blessings that we will receive. You know, it'll even change our countenance. I'm going to go to the ecclesiastical history now. We find in Eusebius where that two young women, they were cousins. They'd been, neither one knew the other now, had been and heard Jesus teach there on the Sea of Galilee. And they happened to meet. They happened to meet one day. And one of them is all enthused and she says, oh, did you? I know you have. By the look on your face. By the look on your face, you've seen the Master too. Let us fulfill that to the fullest extent. And we will find that He'll pour out a blessing upon us to that extent that we won't have room to place it all. That's a promise that He has made to us, that He will bless His people. And by doing that, there's the example that He is making of us as we meet the rest of the world. May God bless you is my prayer.
Shall we stand?
Heavenly Father.